I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Usually every winter when we'd have a hot stove show, we'd like to get a GM's perspective on things. He was always available to us as GM of the Phillies. He's moved on to some different roles, coaching with the Red Sox, with the Mets, and now he's on our side of the game. Eddie, Ruben Amaro Jr., is going to be working TV broadcasts.
Nice.
I think pre-post game for the Phillies. Is that correct, Ruben? Are you doing games or just the analysis?
Hi, guys. By the way, Shawshank Redemption, best movie. I'm right with you, Sweeney. Right with you.
Yeah.
The best.
Sorry.
Nothing official, but semi-official that I'm going to be doing. Maybe doing some stuff for NBC Sports Philly, and still working through it, obviously, with the much shortened season.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out how they're going to slide me in, but I think I may be doing some stuff and
good,
and maybe doing a little bit of radio as well. But it's been a very, very quiet off season, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. That's good to hear, Rube. You know, it's interesting. You've been in New York for a couple of years now. Back in Philly, you feel comfortable back there. Obviously, I take it.
Yeah, you know what? I was treated really, really well as a, part of my family, really, with the Phillies, and then I went on to Boston and really enjoyed my experiences there, and then after that in New York, and I enjoyed that as well. I mean, I've had a chance to wear a lot of different hats, as you guys well know, and
sure.
It's been fun. Each one of them has been fun and challenging, and I've enjoyed each one of them.
Hey, Ruben, I want to ask you about this. I haven't talked to Eddie about this yet, but I know it's somebody that he knows, and I just saw you tweet about it. I think it was yesterday or earlier today. Mike Ryan came up with the Red Sox in 67, and Eddie remembers that team well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Irish Mike Ryan was also a Philly and a teammate of your dad's, and I think you pretty much knew him his whole life. He passed away just yesterday, and I saw that you had some thoughts about losing him.
Yeah, Irish was one of those guys that could brighten your day every single day, always with a smile. Best suntan in all of organized baseball. He came out very, very early to get his sun. You know, he was a Northeast guy, a New Hampshire guy, but he was, I tweeted about him being kind of a man's man. He was really a great teammate, a great foxhole guy. I know that my dad had a great deal of respect for him as a coachmate and just a real special person, just in general, real team player and somebody that you love being around. And that's one of the reasons why he did so well in his role as a bullpen coach. You guys know that's pretty special and kind of an isolated job at times, and you got to be a pretty special person to be able to do that, and he was certainly that.
That's great. That's unfortunately in his passing, but those are nice words, Ruben, no question. Ruben Amaro Jr., our guest here. With the Phillies, obviously this is going to be kind of, a different year. Joe Girardi takes over as manager. What's the thoughts with the Phils right now, Ruben? I think everyone has had some problems with COVID and dealing with all that, and everyone's under the same gun here with the 60-game season. But what's your thought going in with Joe taking over this year?
Yeah, I really do believe that Joe is kind of like the perfect, the quintessential essential manager for this organization at this time. I know it was a little bit of a different situation there with Gabe Kapler at the helm, and I'm not sure if that was the right fit for them. But I do believe that Joe, and you guys know Joe well, I think he's prepared for, more of a larger audience. I think that the Northeast fits him well. I think he learned a lot of things when he was in New York, obviously. I begrudgingly, you know, welcome to Philadelphia because he was the manager that beat us in the 2009 World Series. So I was a little upset
right.
about that because
that
was,
right.
that was my first year as a GM. That kind of pissed me off a little bit. but the reality of it is that I think he's a really good fit there in Philadelphia. He's ready for the challenge. It's not an easy place, as you know, to be a manager, general manager and such, but I think he's going to handle it well. And I think the combination of kind of old school and new school ideas, I think that's an important element that will help some teams transcend some of the issues that are happening in baseball today. And I think he's a good fit for them.
We're talking to Ruben Amaro Jr. You know, Ruben, you bring up an interesting point that I hadn't thought of. I mean, you know, I watched Joe Girardi manage here for 10 years, so I know what he's capable of. But a lot of times now, experience is not necessarily a qualification for the job. But in this weird season with 60 games and what you're going to have to deal with, an experienced manager might be exactly what you need.
Yeah, I think that there is a I think that there's a calmness that is necessary amongst the storm, right? This is going to be a very short sprint, if in fact we can get through the season, and that's going to be a challenge in and of itself, obviously. But it's going to be those guys who understand players and understand the game and understand what it's like to be in a little bit of a tight situation. And Joe's been in it, you know, for many, many years in New York. You know, obviously managed in Miami as well, but being in New York and being able to handle the pressures of that and being able to deal with that on a daily basis, I think he's well wired for it. I think, you know, the Dusty Baker is going to be very good for a calming influence for the Houston Astros in the same vein. You know, you're right, Sweeney. I think that experience has become a little bit of a four-letter word these days, unfortunately, and I think it's something that I think is going to be important in this short sprint of a season.
Hey, Ruben, contrast that, if you will. You know Luis Rojas very mm-hmm. well, and his age kind of belies his years. You know, he's in his late 30s and doesn't have the experience that, say, Joe does or Dusty does. But, I mean, you know him well. I think that he will be able to handle this well this year, but yet he doesn't have the experience, which might be a soothing thing for some of the other guys.
That's interesting because he doesn't have the major league experience as a manager, but he does have managerial experience. I mean,
right.
he's been in the Mets organization as a manager, and that means something. I mean, having managed as many years as he has, I think it was 10 or 12 or something like that years in the minor leagues there, even as a young kid. And so I think that was pretty crucial for him, and it's important. I think he's got a good demeanor. I think he handles things well. And honestly, I think he's got really good support system there. He's got Hensley Mullins. He's got Gary DeSarcina. He's got people who have had a lot of experience in the game. And I think he's all those guys, he can lean on them and utilize them in a way that's going to be real positive.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Ruben Amaro Jr. Ruben, regardless of how much experience a manager has, this season has a lot of quirks to it. Only 60 games, the extra innings rules, the ability maybe to have to piggyback pitchers and work with a 30-man roster initially. You know, from your former GM seat to what you know about how to play the game on the field, what do you think is the most difficult challenge, other than, you know, the health part of it and making sure you have a full roster? What is the most difficult part of navigating this season in your mind?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that the health is number one, obviously. And I think you may end up getting teams that win by attrition, right? By the fact they're staying healthy enough. But I think other than that, and I do believe this is true kind of in the long haul too, but even more crucially in a very short period of time is managing your bullpen and your pitching. I mean, listen, you don't know how many, it's going to be a real dicey thing for starting pitching. First of all, starting pitchers are not, are now not expected to go more than five or six innings. Now, for the Mets, that's going to be a strength of theirs. Their pitching has been a strength, and it's an important element for them. And, and they really need those guys to be stretched out. I don't know how stretched out DeGrom and Marcus Stroman and others. I know that the Yankees are going to have an outstanding rotation, and it's it's really going to be crucial to see how teams handle their pitching, not just their rotation, but obviously their bullpen, and strong bullpens are going to play. I mean, Tampa Bay is going to be a very, very tough team to beat because they can throw so many different looks at you with tremendous arms, and they're going to be a tough, tough opponent in that East.
That's a great point. You know, Ruben, one of the things that surprised me, I guess, overall is how far along the starters have been. I know with the Mets, a lot of guys, DeGrom and Mats, and, you know, they threw regularly. It seems like they can jump into the season and be ready for six or seven. I don't know how that goes with the Phillies but and some other teams, but I've been surprised by it a little bit. I thought we might see shorter stints early, but guys might be able to go a little bit longer than you might think early on.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, these guys are professionals. They know their bodies. This guy's been around a little bit. You know, the people think that Matt is a young player. You know, he wanted to in his fourth or fifth full season now. I mean, these guys have been around a ways, and I think that they're understanding their bodies better. They're understanding their ways for them to be able to play. And you're hopeful that they're professionals and keeping themselves in shape. I mean, this is their job. This is their craft. So you're hopeful that they'll do that. Now, it is different now when you're ramping up and you're competing. Right now they're going to be pitching against, like, their own guys. They're probably only going to have maybe one rep or two at the most to pitch against any other teams. What are they playing, like, two or three exhibition games? And I think the difficulty that they're going to have is you know, how their bodies are going to react when it's time to really go, right? And it's a totally different type of competition, and your body's just going to react differently. And that's the one issue that I am concerned about with the pitching is that, you know, when the light goes on, it's going to be time for these guys to go, and you just don't know how they're going to react because they're just not trained to have had this type of, you know, different type of, you know, two spring trainings ramping up again, not necessarily being totally prepared. And that's where the pitching coach and the people who are the pitch designer and the, obviously the bullpen guys are going to really have to help those pitchers out and be sharp and aware of how, you know when they're ready and when they're not.
We're talking to Ruben Amaro Jr., Sweeney Murdy, Ed Coleman on The Fan, Saturday night, 9:15. Chris McMonagle comes your way at 10. Hey, Ruben, Eddie and I were talking earlier about the, you know, even in a 60-game season, managers have made it pretty clear that they're not going to ride their guys hard all the way through, that they're going to find days of rest for them, especially early on. Can you provide a little more insight from the GM's chair, which you held, and from the coaching perspective of getting players ready to play, which you also did, that how it's not the way it used to be. There, it is not as advantageous to run players into the ground, so to speak, by playing them almost every day.
Yeah, there's obviously a very fine line between getting them ready and wearing them down, right? I mean, to me, you kind of have to get your sea legs under you. To me, it's getting their legs, their bodies, their lower halves ready for competition. That's the most important part of their game. And if their lower halves are strong and ready, then they'll be okay, both defensively and offensively, because hitting his lower half as well. I mean, everybody talks about the hands and the, you know, launch angles and things like that, but really, you're providing power with your bottom half, and it's really about getting your sea legs or your seasoned legs ready to go in spring training. And I've been in a belief that that some of the guys are not getting the kind of reps necessarily because they're only getting maybe 40 or 50 at bats. I really believe, and I guess this is a little bit more old school, but I believe it's got to be closer to 50 or 60 or even 70 at bats for some guys to get ready for a full season. Now, I don't know how they're going to be able to do that. I know they take a lot of swings. It's different to take a lot of swings, to, you know, in the cage and to do, you know, a lot of work off the tee. But, you know, you got to get them in the games and work their timing so that they're ready to go. So it'll be interesting. I think having the DH will help some of the managers rotate some of the guys in and off the field and keep them fresh. And I think that's going to be helpful. I was, you know, I didn't used to be a proponent of the DH. I am now, because I think it creates more entertainment for the fan. But for me, I really think it's, I think it's going to be critical that that some of these managers really rotate these guys in and out of that DH slot so they can stay fresh.
Yeah, I'm kind of fascinated by what you brought up too, Ruben, about the other uniform. Seeing, you know, you've only got a couple of exhibition games, and it's a different game, different world when you see that other uniform, adrenaline, all that kind of stuff, and you're not going to get that during this time. And all of a sudden, bingo, you got to snap your fingers and lights on, go. You know, I think it's a little bit tough for them to pick up right. It'd be interesting to see what kind of starts, you know, and how that affects teams at the beginning, I think.
And not only that, I think it's going to be the teams are going to be able to self-motivate because obviously there's no fans in the stands. And I think they're going to, in some of the places, they're going to be pumping in some sound and stuff. It's not going to be the same. And so, you know, it's about that adrenaline rush and how their bodies are going to react to that. That's a real thing. I mean, that's a real chemical thing. It's a real emotional thing. And it'll be interesting to see how teams react. I think the teams that deal with not having those fans in the stands may be, you know, best suited in the situation. You know, a team even like we talked about, Tampa Bay, they don't have a whole lot of people in the stands.
Right.
They may be ready for something like this. They're used to not having people in the stands, which is kind of strange, but they may be, you know, they may be the team to beat because of it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other things I think might be interesting here is that, you know, when you talked about the attrition, and I feel like there are going to be teams that are going to have to dive deep enough into their 60-player pool that they're probably playing guys who were in AAA or even AA in a normal year. There's not enough time for teams to recover from their injuries. But, you know, those types of players, everybody always says, okay, are they ready for the big leagues? Can they handle the third deck? Can they handle the you know, 30,000 people in the stands? Well, you know, none of those things are as big a factor here. Might we see some guys who might thrive a little bit in these conditions, even if they weren't necessarily ready development-wise to be there?
It's a great, great point, because particularly in the Northeast, you know, there's an intensity that is created in places like Boston and New York and Philadelphia, and when there's places full in Atlanta, you know, when there's a bunch of people in the stands, it is a a difference, and that third deck means something. But you're not going to have that kind of intensity, I don't think, obviously, in that pressure. I mean, they're going to have that obvious pressure to try to perform as young players. But you make a great point, because these kids might just roll in there and say, "Hey, this is comfy. This is baseball. This is just normal baseball. There's no big deal here," and feel comfortable enough to be able to perform at a high level. So it'll be interesting. And I do believe, I think you're right. I mean, I think it's the teams that have the depth that when, you know, unfortunately, there's going to be some guys who test positive and are going to be off the rosters.
Yep.
And they're going to have to be replaced by somebody, and hopefully they're replaced by guys who can really play. And if they can, I mean, like I said, it could be a season of attrition because depth. And the teams that have the most depth, I think they're going to have a lot of success.
No question. Ruben Amaro Jr., our guest here on The Fan, Ed Coleman, Sweeney Murdy. What were your thoughts with Wheeler coming, and what did you think about that? And also about Nola right now, how is he, and is he in camp now with the Phils? I hadn't seen.
Yeah, he is back. Nola is back pitching. He is. I think he threw a simulated game the other day.
Okay.
I believe that he's on track now. Again, he's a very conscientious kid. I got an opportunity to see him quite a bit before we drafted him at LSU. Very meticulous about his work ethic, very on point. And so if there's anybody who's going to be ready, it'll be him. I do not believe that he tested positive. I think he was in one of those protocols where he had to wait it out because of because I think it was an issue with one of his teammates who had it, and so they had to test him and shut him down. But I think he's going to be fine. And as far as Wheeler is concerned, you know, obviously he's got his baby coming, and right around the start of the season here in late July, and that's going to be an issue. But I think it seems like he's ready to go. He's throwing the ball well, I understand, and I haven't seen him live. I think he's a great fit in Philadelphia because, one, he pitches behind a kind of a number one or a 1A or whatever you want to call it, Nola, and he pitches in between, you know, he and Arrieta. And I think that I really do believe that he would benefit from a guy like JT Realmuto, just because JT is a really good catcher. He handles things well. He's going to call his game, and I think that that's an important element for Zach. As you know, Zach, you know, you think of him as a veteran, but he doesn't have a whole lot of reps because he has some injury issues early, as you know.
He missed
Ed,
a couple of years. Yeah, exactly.
So he's a guy that really he's got a lot of years in, but he doesn't have a lot of time in actual playing time. And I think that that he's still learning the game, still learning them. He's got obviously a tremendous arm. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a big benefit for him to be pitching to Real Mucho, and I think it was a good sign because of that. I think had a team not had a good leader behind the plate for him, it would have been a little bit more of a challenge. Mm.
Ruben, Joe Girardi, I think, took some pleasure in telling us and reminding us that Didi Gregorius hit a grand slam during the intra-squad game the other day. Yankees and Phillies are going to play each other early in the season, and Didi spent a lot of time here. I know you were on some teams that you played against him. You know, you coached yep. against him, so you saw him up close and saw what he can be. What kind of a lift can he be for the Phillies on a one-year deal like this?
I think that was a great sign. I really do. Didi is a good energy guy. He's a veteran. He likes to play. He's a very steady influence on a team that in their infield was a little bit of a hodgepodge. And I think that I know it does move Segura to a different position, but I think that's probably the right thing to do. And it looks like Gene Segura is going to be able to handle third base okay. It gives Kingery an opportunity to go back to what is supposed to be his natural position at second base. I just think it solidifies that team in so many different ways. I loved Didi when we were in Boston and we're playing against him. He was a very good player. He knows how to play. He's, like I said, calming influence. I think that he's going to be a real positive for that organization. And I think it was a great sign. And I think that there's a real great mutual respect between he and Joe. And that's a plus too.
Interesting. I'd forgotten you guys had Jay Bruce, too, as a veteran guy who might DH a little bit, yep. I guess, whatever. But that, you know, it's funny. You always look at the end of the season, and Bruce comes up with the same numbers every year. You know, it takes him up and down to get there, but he usually has the same numbers just about every year.
He had particularly strong power numbers, obviously. His average was down a little bit. But you know what? He came in very good shape this year in spring training in Seattle. I saw him, and when he got traded over to Philadelphia, I saw him again, and moving very well, playing some left field there, mostly obviously with Harper playing right. He played well. I think he can play a little bit first base if they want to give Reese Hoskins, Hoskins a blow. I think that he's a plus, and obviously with the DH in tow, I mean, he's got an opportunity to get a lot of the bats. He came out like gangbusters. I mean, he was swinging the bat extremely well when they first got him and hit a couple of home runs, won a couple of games for him, and he was playing good baseball. So I think it kind of rejuvenated him to get him back into there because Seattle obviously was not playing real good baseball, and Philadelphia was much more competitive. But it'll be interesting to see how he handles it. I think it's going to be helpful for McCutcheon as well to give him a blow from time to time because he's coming off that injury as well.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Ruben Amaro, Jr. Ruben, listen, you were born and raised in Philadelphia. You spent time working in Philadelphia and New York and Boston. You know what the Northeast is like. You know what the big cities are like. And you've seen all the things happening in our country and all the discussions that are now being made. I hadn't realized, I showed you this article. Your dad experienced a lot of stuff, coming into play in the major leagues from Cuba. Spring training in Florida, there was some things. This isn't just a black-white thing. There were, the Latin American community had some issues as well, especially when your dad was coming up.
Yeah, my dad had some real issues. There were times when he wasn't able to stay in the same hotel as his teammates when he was playing, like, in the Dixie League and down in Texas and stuff like that. And it was interesting. I remember he was telling me a story about one time there was a team brawl, and they literally grabbed my dad and threw him into the dugout and into the clubhouse because they thought he'd get lynched. I mean, they were really, really scared for his life. So it was a scary time. My dad did have to deal with it. Fortunately for me, I never had to because of some of the things that happened in our society, which is great. We have made some strides, obviously. We're not all the way there. There's no question about that. But, my dad had to deal with some things. There was even some times when in Clearwater, he was not able to stay at the team hotel. I guess it was the Fort Harrison Hotel at the time in the 60s. And I think that the team pulled out completely because some of the players of color, black and all African American, black and Latin American guys, Cuban guys, et cetera, et cetera. We're just not able to stay in the hotel, and it was an issue, and it was a different time. We have made some strides, as I said, but there's a long way to go. And, you know, it's a very interesting time in our country. I'm hoping that that bringing baseball back and bringing other sports back refocuses people and takes the focus a little bit off of what some of the difficulties that are happening in our society. And, you know, I'm hoping that people understand that baseball is colorblind, and I hope that that's the message that we're sending. We hopefully will send as an industry.
You did the GM thing for a while. You did the coaching thing. I don't know if that was maybe in an effort to lead you to managing. Now you're in the broadcast booth. What are the next 5 years? What do you want to be doing in this game, Ruben?
You know, people have asked me that all the time. You know, if I had my choice, I would love to have gotten a chance to manage. Still have that back in my mind. Love to get an opportunity to do that. I don't know if the time has passed me by, but I tell people, and I've told other people, I've talked to other organizations, I've done a little bit of consulting here and there, that I just want to work in baseball. I enjoy being around it. It's been my life. It doesn't have to necessarily be a GM or assistant GM or a manager or what have you, but I love being on the field. I love being in the office. I love working for a goal and to try to win baseball games and win championships, and I've had an opportunity to be around a lot of them. I'm hopeful at some point. I mean, this may, you know, doing the TV thing may be the thing that I do the rest of my life. That'd be great too. But I just like being around the game, and I enjoy being around it. And hopefully, I can continue to do that in some capacity, whether it's on the field or in the booth or in the office. It doesn't really matter to me as long as I'm around baseball, because I love it so much.
You've worn a lot of hats. You've had a lot of success, and I'm sure this will work out as well, too. Whatever it is you're doing 5-10 years from now, you'll probably be well. So thanks, Ruben. I appreciate the time tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. And, you know, enjoy this season. I know it's going to be historic, and it'll be different. But it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. I really hope we get through this season and get into the playoffs, because that'd be helpful for the game, clearly.
Yeah. No question.
Yeah, well, you know, the Mets play the Phillies, and the Yankees play the Phillies this year and next year's schedule as well. So
right.
We'll either run into you or talk to you on the show or both at some point over the next couple of years again. Rube, thanks
so
much.
I'll look forward to it, guys. It's great to talk to you. You guys are the best, man. I really enjoy being with you, and I've been around a lot of people on this side of the coin, and you guys are the best. You're real professionals.
Thanks, Rube. Appreciate it.
Stay safe, Ruby. Thanks.
Be well, guys.
Got it.
Okay.
See you later. Ruben Amaro Jr. joining us in the booth with the Philadelphia Phillies this year. That'll be fun.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.